Nothing on the Bunnell Foundation's Living with Cystic Fibrosis podcast should be considered medical advice. Medical advice can only come from your CF physician. Cystic fibrosis can be a devastating diagnosis, but living with the disease can bring positivity and a new appreciation for each day. From the Bunnell Foundation in Detroit, Michigan, it's the Living with Cystic Fibrosis podcast, sponsored by Viatris and Genentech. Here's your host, Laura Bunnell.
My mom is Lois Teicher, and from the beginning of the diagnosis, the cystic fibrosis diagnosis, she's been very supportive, 100%. But I was recently thinking that we really never talked about the initial diagnosis and how it was for her. So here we are talking about it. My mom is a sculptor at 83 years old. She's still working on enormous sculptures. She arc welds. She's done it all. Her work is well known everywhere in Michigan and in other states. She's had so many awards, I couldn't possibly list them all here. And I'm going to put a link to her website in show notes if you want to see her work. My parents divorced when I was in my 20s, and my mom has been with her partner, Natalie, for 33 years. In this podcast, my mom and I talk about diagnosis, blame, our feelings, regrets, and all sorts of things. So enjoy meeting my mom.
It's great after all this time having the foundation for 11 years and your oldest granddaughter and the first granddaughter on the Teicher side is 27. So we're finally doing a podcast about you being a grandparent to two girls with cystic fibrosis. And I thought about this. I don't know. It just occurred to me one day. I thought all these years it's been about I'm a mom of two kids with CF and Joe's a dad of two girls with CF. And I thought, oh, you're also a grandparent of two kids with CF. And not that we never talked about it, but I thought there had to be some grieving or grief from what expectations were when your first granddaughter was born. And then we all find out when she's 3 months old that she has cystic fibrosis. So that's what I wanted to talk about. When I first told you that Molly had cystic fibrosis, what were your thoughts in hearing this unexpected news?
Just, oh my God, just big worry. Just like, oh God, I'm helpless. I'm not responsible. Sort of self-blaming a little bit, and then try to understand what it is and what it means and how it affects you, the girls, and Joe. Lots of worry. I think knowing that you were so on it, I mean, and Joe, of course, is a very good father, but you're like the leader in this whole area. I think it was comforting to me to know that you were so strong on this, that you were so determined, that you weren't going to like sit around crying for the rest of your life. You were going to do something. So for me as a grandma, of course, I worried, but that was comforting. And I felt that my role was to be supportive as much as I can, to be understanding and supportive. And every time I see an article, I send it to you to try to be helpful. And the other thing I thought about too, not back then, but is how wonderful you have been, and Joe, in not holding your girls back, in not having them sit around, oh, I got CF, I can't do this, I can't do that, but not holding them back, which I don't want to cry, but it does make me cry because it's so positive. It's so badass, I guess, right on. I mean, it's an incredible thing, and it takes such great strength. So, I mean, it has given me strength as a grandma. And of course, I worry all the time. And it's painful when Emily has been in the hospital most. And that is so painful. And I feel like it's not fair. She's such a good person. She's so wonderful. She's so charming. And Molly, too, is she just, you know, just does what she has to do, what she wants to do. She doesn't sit around worrying about it. That strength is really helpful and comforting to me.
Isn't that interesting? Those are wonderful things you said, by the way. Thank you. But I also think like blame is amongst the first thing, like we're all thinking about, like, even though it's a genetic roulette, right? We don't know
right.
Genetically, like there is nothing we can do. It's just the cards we're dealt. But yeah, even in trying to figure out Joe has 7 siblings and I have 2, and you'd never heard of anyone in our family having CF. And Joe's mom, my mother-in-law, only could think of one baby that died young and had no idea if that was CF or not. So neither side really had any CF connection. Isn't that kind of interesting? And I'm kind of curious, like, how far back and who else was impacted? But those are really hard to figure out.
I did have myself tested because it didn't really help me that much, because it's not about blame. I know that, but I did it anyway. And I, according to the test, I don't carry the gene, but still, I mean, had a union with your father.
Right.
And so kind of blame is kind of a dumb, stupid thing, really. But I did think about it, and I'm over that. It doesn't matter, because nobody did anything on purpose. It just is what it is. And it's just random the way the genes fall and so on. So I've sort of given that up.
And Dad died 30 years ago, so obviously he can't get tested. He died before the girls were born. And then you didn't have the gene, but on your side, some have tested for the gene. So it is a little bit difficult to kind of figure out the exact path of it, too.
That's true, yes.
And I also think about blame, too. You know, we're very open about it. Obviously, with the girls, we did choose to have a second child because we thought, very naively at the time, new to the disease, how could it happen twice? It couldn't possibly happen twice. And then, of course, Emily was born with CF. And there was a sense of guilt, too, for us. Like, oh, my gosh, we have these 2 kids with CF. But thank God we have these 2 kids, even though they have CF. They're amazing. And Emily actually turns 25 tomorrow. And that's something to celebrate. So it is interesting. And from the beginning, I have to say it was great, even though they were so young, but you spent so much time. What was it like when they were young and they had CF and you had to give them enzymes and they were little? I mean, did you feel the CF, not talking about, I guess, hospitalizations right now, but on a daily when you had them either at your studio or at the house, did you feel the presence of CF, or how did that?
I did not. I just saw them as beautiful granddaughters. And they're taking the enzymes, which is kind of an automatic thing, maybe for a split second. Oh, okay, they have to do. But I didn't see them as damaged or CF kids or anything. I just saw them as kids. I just saw them as my granddaughters, and I just love them to pieces. I still do. And just it was thrilling to be with them. And just having grandchildren is the most wonderful thing. So, no, I didn't see them as CF kid, a granddaughter. You know, I have told people, friends, you know, I guess, I'm not sure why, I was looking for sympathy, or to be honest.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with sharing, hey, my kids have CF.
Right. Well, maybe there is some pain there, and I kind of like, I don't know whether it's in denial or just not in the forefront, but and then, of course, with the calendar is educational also, which I think is wonderful. It brings the disease to the forefront, and so we can't hide it, so it can be dealt with. And I guess I've always felt, I'm just a hopeful person. I've always felt positive and hopeful, and science is progressing. I'm still hopeful. I'm still hopeful. And anyways, I did not see them as CF kids. I just saw them as granddaughters, wonderful granddaughters, basically.
And you did, and you have helped share awareness so much. You did rally your friends. Talk about how you rallied your friends to buy the calendars. Expand on that a little bit more. And then you've donated art all these years, your sculpture models or other artwork, you know, at all our fundraisers. So all 11 years that the foundation's been around, and before we had a foundation, you were going on the CF walks with us for the CF Foundation. So you've always been active as well. Talk about how that has been important or helped you, and how you expanded it to your community of friends.
Yeah, so it's wonderful to contribute It's a wonderful, I mean, I think that you're doing a fabulous job. Your foundation is fabulous. And not just for your daughters, my granddaughters, but for people in general with CF. So for me personally, it's just a little something I can do to be helpful. That makes me feel good. And yes, I sold calendars. It's hard to ask for people for money. It's hard for me to ask people for money, but a calendar is a functional thing. It's a useful thing. And that was easier to do. And wonderful friends always bought the calendars. And so that helped raise money. And that in turn, your foundation gives funds to people. I mean, the science keeps improving and getting better. And so it's kind of all in the mix, but it personally makes me feel good that I'm contributing in some small way to be helpful.
And I was going to say, not only have you helped as far as raising money, but you've raised awareness amongst your friends. People who didn't know anything about cystic fibrosis now know something about cystic fibrosis, or they make a connection, or they know somebody, and that's also helped.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for telling me this. Yes, every little bit helps. And I didn't know about CF either until it emerged. So yes, I think it all contributes and it all is positive. And many friends did not know anything about cystic fibrosis. And so it has raised awareness. And I think when you raise awareness, it goes into some kind of pot and it's a positive energy that helps in some way. So I don't feel like thank you. I don't feel like I deserve any credit. I think you're the one who deserves the credit. I'm just a grandma and I'm just doing anything I can, which is small compared to what you've done. So I'm going to cry, but anyway. So I feel like my job is to be supportive.
It's great. And the funnest part of the support is when I can complain about the insurance challenges. Yeah. I mean, it's important to work with insurance companies. I want to say that because we have to deal with them and laws have to be changed. But that's probably the funnest thing that you and I do. There's a lot of swearing going on and we really can I can just vent to you about the insurance insanity, and you listen and you swear back and I love it. So yeah. That.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. Yes, I totally get it. Wow, it's so tough. It's so crazy, the insurance. And anytime, you can call me anytime and I'll listen, because I get it. It's frustrating.
Right. It's so frustrating. And to deal with it like for 27 years and every admission or every new medication, there's always an issue. It's never like, geez, this went smoothly. There is
right.
Never. That never happens. We know the system. I know the system. I advocate. I do things. I know when we're charged wrong. I know when they say it's not medically necessary. It's medically necessary. Yeah. If things like that. So for people who don't have the time or the knowledge or the support to either swear or call the right people to get the correct answers. And there's a ton of people that just don't have the luxury of time with their job. That's super frustrating.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I thought about that a lot, and it takes so much time, so much follow-up and sitting on the phone and so on constantly. You're always doing it. So yes, I don't know how people that don't have the time that can do it. I sympathize totally. I totally sympathize. You're not making it up. It's real. It's ongoing.
What if you were talking to another grandparent who just found out that their grandchild had CF? I guess, what would be something you would talk to them about or say to them about maybe helping their child work with how things are going with their grandchild? Like, what advice would you have?
Well, I mean, I think I've said it all. Be encouraging, be supportive. Don't see them as like CF kids or just kids. Just love them. Be positive. Give them your grandma stuff, which is good. Your wisdom, your love, your charm, your insights is all important. And be positive. And science is moving forward. And so anyway, so just be supportive of your your child, your children, and your grandchildren, and be supportive and listen, like you said, always be there for them and just enjoy, I mean, anyone's life, just enjoy the time you have, enjoy the time with them. It's precious time.
Absolutely. What's been the hardest part of watching Molly and Emily grow up with cystic fibrosis for you?
Oh, wow. Just knowing the reality, just knowing how lucky they are at this time, because it's possible that they can have long lives, but it wasn't always the way it was in the past. And also looking back, I don't know if I should say this, but just knowing the doctors did not believe you. And I think about that. It thought you were some kind of hysterical mother, which was common.
And still happens. I've talked to parents, moms who still hear that. And like I said, I'm friends with that doctor still, but she apologized that she misdiagnosed. Yeah. I mean, but anyways, go on.
Anyway, so that's, I do think about that. And I told people that, oh my God, Lauren, they didn't believe Lauren, blah, blah. So there's that whole thing and whole sexist thing and the way mothers are treated. So I think about that. But I mean, just thinking about the past and about how other children did not survive and how lucky we are and how lucky my particular granddaughters are to have you as a mother and Joe as a father. Because I think, well, not everybody, but many men can't take it when their children have chronic diseases and they leave. You know, I think that might be a common thing, but your Joey is such a good man. I don't. And you are so positive and so dynamic. Anyway, but it was hard thinking about the past and about other children and other parents. And you've mentioned, you've alerted me as to people in other countries with CF and how they're not up to standards where we are here in this country. I think about that, and that's hard, and that makes me very sad. But I mean, I'm not going to go into it. You know more about it.
Yeah, no, I see where I got my positivity and everything. So I really appreciate that. And I think you and Natalie, your partner, Natalie has been really great also with the girls. And I think that support is so important. Like, we couldn't do it without all our support people. It would have been so difficult. And you didn't smoke and you honored everything we had to do with the girls. And I could leave one of them with you if we had to take one to the hospital or you visited them. And all of that was also really important as well.
Thank you. I feel like that's my job. I'm the grandma. I'm just glad to help and do anything I can. And I love them. So that was easy.
What's one of your favorite stories of each of the girls, if you're able to remember? It can be just a short, it doesn't have to be anything big, but.
Well, mostly I think about Molly and, well, coming to my studio and Molly doing drawings, and she's free to take the oil sticks and the paper that surrounds them and just like pulling off the paper and just throwing it on the floor. I said, okay, it's a studio, you can do that. And then kind of stepping back and letting her be creative, letting her do drawings. And the other thing, Molly, in Dearborn, we live there near the train and standing by the window and my telling Molly, when the train comes by, the whole house shakes. And so Molly, who was, I don't know, four, just, I would really want to be here when that happens. So I'll never forget that. This little kid, you know. So we're thinking about Emily. I don't know. Emily is always positive and adorable. And later, as an adult, Emily, we were having like adult conversation, just a heart-to-heart talk about personal things. And she just able to listen and take it in and not be judgmental.
And I think, too, like Emily took a while to find her creativity, but wouldn't you say she definitely found it?
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, she never thought she was creative. And I'm a visual artist. And so she was doing some drawings, which were phenomenal. you can't not be creative and do those wonderful drawings. So there's all kinds of ways to be creative. You don't have to be a practicing artist to be creative. You could be creative in your work, you know, no matter what you do. So I try to encourage that and try to give her, help her with her confidence and not be, you know, like, oh, you're, you know, meaningless, but to be genuine and not be false, to be genuinely supportive. Emily is different than Molly. She's very different, both fantastic.
Right. So in wrapping up, I guess, what did you maybe learn about cystic fibrosis that surprised you or that you found interesting about CF?
Well, that it's genetic. I didn't know that. It has to be from both parents. The history of it, how it affects the lungs, and then the whole enzyme thing, so not being able to digest food without, I mean, all of it. I didn't know anything. I had no idea about any of it. So.
And over these 27 years, because Molly's 27, do you feel even more optimistic now about this disease than when we started?
Absolutely, I do. I do. And I know it's going to be okay. Eventually, and all the people that came before have gotten, and the science has improved and progressed, and I think will continue to do so. And I feel very, very positive. I know Molly is on, I forgot the name of the medicine that she's on, and hopefully Emily, they'll find something for Emily and other children. And I think they're close. Just my gut. I used to go with my gut and with some information that you've made me aware of. But I am very positive. I feel in my soul, I'm very positive. I know it will happen.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts. It's good to be able to talk to you and share with everybody the mom and the support that I have. So thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah, it was wonderful. Thank you, Laura. Thank you for being you.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
The original music in this podcast is performed by Kevin Allen.
It's not complicated.
Who happens to have cystic fibrosis.
We all got our worries and fears. I know what's got you frustrated. But loving you is so all right.
This has been the Living with Cystic Fibrosis podcast. For more information and to learn more about the Bonnell Foundation, visit our website at thebonnellfoundation.org. That's the B-O-N-N-E-L-L foundation.org. This podcast was sponsored by Viatris and Genentech. It was produced by Jagged Detroit Podcasts. Follow our show in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now.